Hare Krishna. Continuing discussion of Arka in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Arka is a name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which we've been particularly discussing in the context of understanding it to mean the sun. Krishna is the sun, or the sun is like Krishna. And there are so many examples given by the acharyas in relation to the sun. And then how can we understand Krishna from these examples? How can we understand Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the scientific knowledge in relation to the personality of Godhead? One example that's given in the purport by Srila Prabhupada's followers to Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text 9, is that we see various qualities in various persons. Some persons are outstanding by their qualities. The example is given that the moon, according to Vedic cosmology, the moonshine is a reflection of the effulgence of the sun. Similarly, the living entity reflects for a brief time a particular quantity of the Lord's opulences. So if we see any great quality in any person, we can understand it's just like the moon is reflecting the sunshine. It's only a very tiny amount of the sun's energy which is being reflected by the moon. So similarly, any human being who we see who exhibits great qualities, it's a tiny reflection which lasts for a very short time. Tiny reflection. So we might think of that more when we see the moon than when we see the sun. But this is in relation to the sun. Here's another example given in a purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who presented the later part of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Text 4, 37. Although everyone knows that the sun is constantly moving in the sky, that's quite okay to say that, even in terms of modern science, if we take relativity theory. Although, then you come to speculative philosophy. Let's not come to that. Everyone knows that the sun is constantly moving in the sky. We know because every day the sun rises and travels, goes up, 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 and then down, down, down. So we know this, but we can't see it physically moving. Although the sun is moving very fast, to our vision, it's too slow for us to see it moving. And another example is that we know that our hair is growing, or our nails are growing, because in course of time, we see them grow, but the growth is so slow that we can't perceive it. You can get, if someone wants to sit patiently for days on end with their finger in front of a camera, then you can speed it all up later and show how it's growing. It's done with plants, because the plants don't have to have patience. They stay in one place anyway. Anyway, this example is given in relation to time, which is difficult to understand, very subtle and powerful. It's a potency of the Supreme Lord. And, yeah, it goes against what we can immediately see and understand. We have to speak more about time a little later in this talk. Now, another example, this is from the first canto of Bhagavatam, is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he comes in this world, the Lord in human society does what is the duty of everyone. He shows how to act as an ideal human being, but sometimes he does something extraordinary and not to be imitated by the living being. His acts of evening prayer stated herein must be followed by the living being, but it is not possible to follow his mountain lifting or dancing with the gopis. Of course, you can imitate dancing with the gopis, but you can't dance with thousands of gopis at once and expand yourself into thousands of forms. The example that Srila Prabhupada gives here, one cannot imitate the sun, which can exhaust water even from a filthy place. The most powerful can do something which is all good, but our imitation of such acts will put us into endless difficulty. So the example is given. The sun, it purifies a filthy place by evaporating the water. If there's sewage water which is exposed to the sun, then the sun will, if there's not more added, then that will be evaporated. The sun can do that. So Krishna, he can purify everything. So therefore, we shouldn't try to imitate those who are very powerful. Then, example from the second canto of Bhagavatam, invoking the sun, among other things. Krishna is the cause of all causes. What does that mean? He's the cause of all causes. Well, an example is given here. Electrical instruments, just like the electrical instrument that you are using to see and listen to this talk, and I'm using for recording it. Each and every electrical instrument depends fully on the total powerhouse. The total powerhouse depends on the reservoir of water for generating electricity. If it's hydroelectric source, water depends on the clouds. The clouds depend on the sun. The sun depends on the creation, and the creation depends on the movement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. So when we see the sun, we can think that the sun is instrumental in so many things in this world. We rely on the energy of the sun. The sun is the cause of heat and rain and good health for those who take sun shine moderately, and bad health for those who overexpose themselves to the sun and thus become diseased. But the sun, though so powerful, is dependent on the material creation, and the material creation is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Here's a quote from a letter from Srila Prabhupada, who was answering a query from artist disciples of himself, who seemed to be astonished when they were instructed to paint a picture of Varaha Dev, Nrsimha Dev, appearing from a pillar. And Srila Prabhupada also gives the example of Varaha Dev appearing from the nostril of Brahma. So Srila Prabhupada writes, Vishnu being all-pervading, he can appear from any place. He appeared as Nrsimha Dev from the pillar. So one may question how Vishnu may appear from a pillar, but actually, he appeared. He is all-powerful with inconceivable potency, and therefore he can appear himself from anywhere he likes. When the Lord appeared as a small hog from the nostril of Brahma, he began to expand himself more and more, and gradually he became a gigantic boar. So these are the inconceivable energies of the Supreme Lord. It does not, however, mean that Brahma's nostril is the birthplace of Vishnu. The sun rises from the eastern horizon. That does not mean that the eastern horizon is the birthplace of the sun. So there's another example when we see the sun rising. We can think that we can see this in relation to Varaha Dev or Nrsimha Dev. the sun is rising from the eastern horizon, it might appear to be like a child coming from the womb of his mother. But no, it's not like that. The sun is independent of the eastern horizon, whatever the eastern horizon is. It's just something that we see. Not that there is an edge of the world that you'll fall off if you go too far. So in the same way, we can remember that although the Supreme Lord appears as a small hog from the nostril of Brahma, he's not actually born from Brahma. He's independent. And Krishna appears from the womb of Devaki. Devaki janmavada. That's in that famous prayer. That he's said to have appeared from the womb of Devaki. Said to have. But actually he's independent. Another example, which I didn't take from Shastra exactly, must be there in Shastra, no doubt. Previous teachers of spiritual knowledge must have employed this example. Well, just to demonstrate the insufficiency of pratyaksha, or trusting what we see with our eyes. Of course, there are many, many examples. The common examples, the most common example is given of the apparent appearance of silver on an oyster shell, and the second most common example, at least in the last few hundred years of Vedanta discussion, is mistaking a rope to be a snake. Another example is that we see the sun as being much smaller than it actually is. We can't imagine without being informed that it's so far away, millions of miles away. Another thing is that the sun appears to change color. When the sun rises, the sun and sets, the sun looks reddish. When the sun is in the sky, at the zenith, then it appears to be a brilliant, glowing yellow. So it appears to change color, and it looks bigger at sunrise and sunset than it does at midday. But it doesn't change size, doesn't change color, and it's not as small as we perceive it to be. So there's an example of the insufficiency of pratyaksha. Now, we mentioned something about the sun and time. This is a very important consideration. I'm going to read from a famous verse from Brahma Sanghita with the translation given in the edition published by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Yach chakshuresha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta sura murtira sheshate jaha yasya gyaya brahmati sambhrita kala chakra govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, ashesha tejaha, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. The sun is very much connected with time, or at least how we measure time. Time is ascertained, the years, well, first of all, the day is the most basic unit which is ascertained by the sun, and the sun, according to the season, the days lengthen or shorten, which means that then the nights shorten or lengthen. It's all according to the sunrise and the sunset. And then parts of the day we can also ascertain according to the movement of the sun. In Vedic terminology, there are ashtaprahar, or eight divisions of the day. That means from sunrise to sunrise. That includes the day and the night. And years are also ascertained according to the movement of the sun. Not as easily. A layman can ascertain the day, when the day is beginning and ending, very easily by the movement of the sun. For to get the time more accurately for the parts of the day, you can also have a general idea. We say it's now is dawn, sunrise, morning, that's forenoon, midday, afternoon, evening. We can roughly ascertain by the movement of the sun. More accurately, that can be done by scientific instruments, and the years can be accurately ascertained by scientific instruments. Months cannot be ascertained by the movement of the sun exactly, and that may be somewhat arbitrary, somewhat, and that's connected with the interaction of the movement of the sun and the moon. As far as moments, a very, very tiny fractions of time, that is to be ascertained, well, by movement. The movement of the sun, we ascertain days, parts of days and years, and the moments, they are ascertained by movement. In the Vedic system of calculation of time, calculation of time begins with the atom, by the movement of one atom in relation to another. So it goes from the atomic time. You have atomic time, atomic clocks. This is discussed also in how the time, according to the movement of the sun, this is discussed in Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, which we'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this. He talked about the movement of the sun. And this is to be, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing this, giving it as an example in how to understand the eternality of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna appeared in this world 5,000 years ago. He disappeared 5,000 years. It means approximately, both appearance and disappearance. But his pastimes are eternal within the material world. How can that be? Lord Chaitanya describes to Sanatana Goswami. Let me give an example, Lord Chaitanya said, by which people may understand Lord Krishna's eternal pastimes. An example can be found in the zodiac. The sun moves across the zodiac day and night and crosses the oceans between the seven islands one after another. According to Vedic astronomical calculations, the rotation of the sun consists of 60 dandas, and it is divided into 3,600 palas. The sun rises in steps consisting of 60 palas. 60 palas equal one danda, and 8 dandas comprise one prahara. I was saying ashta prahara, the 8 divisions of the day, according to the movement of the sun. The day and night are divided into 8 praharas, 4 belonging to the day and 4 belonging to the night. After 8 praharas, the sun rises again. So Vedic daytime, in the Vedic system, it's calculated from, the day is calculated from the sunrise. Just as there is an orbit of the sun, there is an orbit of Krishna's pastimes, which are manifested one after the other. During the lifetime of 14 Manus, this orbit expands through all the universes, and gradually it returns. Thus, Krishna moves with his pastimes through all the universes, one after another. This could be unpacked quite a lot. It's technical. But basically, what's being said is, just as the sun moves within one universe, and therefore we see on this, what to speak of within the universe, just on this earth, we can see that when it's, or we can understand that if it's sunrise in one place, it's the sun is rising in one place, it's midday in another place, and sunset in another place, and midnight in another place, all according to the movement of the sun. So in the same way, there are multi-universes within the material world, or the multiverse, and Krishna's pastimes are going on in one universe after another. His pastimes move from one universe to another. In this way, they're eternal within this material world, what to speak of in the spiritual world. And even as we learn from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Ujjvala Nilamani, that the pastimes in the material world continue even after the time of universal dissolution, because the spiritual world, which is manifested within the material world, continues to exist even when the whole material manifestation is wound up. So Krishna's pastimes continue. It's all inconceivable stuff. Another example about the birth of Krishna compared to this rising and setting of the sun is given here. We're reading from Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text 15, this purport. Krishna, as he is compared to the sun. He first appeared from the ocean of the womb of Devaki. That's the example is given. There's, if you see the sun rising on the ocean, it appears the sun is rising in the ocean. So he appeared from the womb of Devaki, and gradually he satisfied the inhabitants of the places surrounding Mathura, just as the sun enlivens the flower in the morning. So Krishna was born in the womb of Devaki, and then just as the sun moves, so Krishna moved to Vrindavan, and then he was in the area of Mathura and those places. And then, after gradually rising to the meridian of Dwaraka, the Lord set like the sun, placing everything in darkness, as described by Uddhava. So Krishna, he rose, and then he set. But he doesn't actually set. Just as the sun never actually sets. But it appears like that. His pastimes, they have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But the sun never sets, and Krishna's pastimes never set. But in this material world, the sun sets, our life sets, everything comes to an end, all things must pass, as is stated in the Bible. All things must pass, agama payeno nityas, everything in this world comes and goes and is not eternal. But Krishna is eternal. In this material world, everything comes to an end. The sun is setting on this extended series of talks of Krishna as Arka, the sun. In other words, it's coming to an end. This should be the last in this series. The whole purpose of all these talks is to help us to remember Krishna, to encourage us to take shelter of Krishna, the sun who never sets. We can move with the sun. Srila Prabhupada gave the example. Flying in a plane, you take off and it's midday and you fly for 12 hours and you arrive in a place and the sun hasn't set. If you'd stayed in the same place, the sun would have set. But if you fly west, then when you land after 12 hours, the sun is still in the sky. So if we move with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada in this regard gave an example, speaking in 1966 in New York. he gave what he called a crude example, just like at 12 o'clock at midday the sun is above your head. And 5,000 miles away, if you ask a friend, where is the sun, he'll say it's on my head. Well, I guess if you go if you go north or south, not too much east or west, where is it? 5,000 miles this way, that way, you inquire, and everywhere, everyone will say, the sun is on my head. So if a material thing, the sun is a material thing, if a material entity can be so all-pervading at one and the same time, is it not that the supreme spiritual being, he'll not be all-pervading? So what is that? Everyone sees the sun, it's just, the sun's up there in the sky, it's above me. Everyone sees. So the sun is, in that sense, all-pervading. Everyone can see. We have a direct line to the sun. So we have a direct line to Krishna, who's there for everyone. The rays of Krishna's mercy extend to everyone. Similar example, Srila Prabhupada gives in another talk in 1966 in New York. You're walking on the street, if you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, that means Krishna is going with you. Just like you have seen while walking on the street, you see up on the horizon, you'll see the moon is going with you, the sun is going with you. As you find that the moon is going with you, similarly by chanting, if the moon has got such power, it is a material thing, it can go with you. Don't you think the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, cannot remain with you? Yes, he can. By his potency, he can remain with you, provided you are also qualified to keep his company. So we can invoke the presence of Krishna, just like the sun is always above us or the moon is always above us. We can invoke the presence of Krishna. Krishna will always be with us if we chant Hare Krishna. Of course, we have to be qualified to keep his company by pure devotional service. I'm reading from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 4, text 6, the purport to that. Factually, His appearance and disappearance, referring to Lord Krishna, are like the sun's rising, moving before us, and then disappearing from our eyesight. When the sun is out of sight, we think that the sun has set, and when the sun is before our eyes, we think that the sun is on the horizon. Actually, the sun is always in its fixed position. But owing to our defective, insufficient senses, we calculate the appearance and disappearance of the sun in the sky. And because Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are completely different from that of any ordinary, common living entity, it is evident that he is eternal, blissful knowledge by his internal potency, and he is never contaminated by material nature. So just like we think we see the sun rising and setting, but the sun is always independent of our vision of him. The sun is in his own position. So similarly, Krishna, we think he's appearing and disappearing in this world. To our vision, we say, now the sun is rising. From the sun's perspective, he's not rising at all. So in the same way, Krishna, he's having his appearance pastime, but he's always fixed in his position. So, keep the sun. Keep always in the sunlight of Krishna. We can light up our life with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion that the nectar of devotion will teach us how to turn the one switch that will immediately brighten everything everywhere. One who does not know this method is missing the point of life. The one switch that will immediately brighten everything everywhere. One who does not know this is just in the darkness of ignorance. So the one switch that will brighten everything, like coming out of a dark room into a bright, coming out, the room is completely dark and we no windows and we go outside. Ah, so bright. Maybe you have to go gradually, otherwise we'll damage our eyes. So gradually, sadhana bhakti, gradually, gradually. Or another example, the appearance of Krishna in our life is just a... Those living in India may not relate so much to this, but those living in, say, Sweden, they can relate to it. After a long, dismal, gloomy, cold winter, and then on one day there may be, in the spring, there may be a bright, sunny day. Ah, so welcome. What a relief. So let us light up our life with Krishna instead of Shangshara Bishanale Dibanishihiya Jale Duraite Na Koina Upai. Burning in the fire of material existence. Day and night we're burning. Day and night are measured by the they're demarcated by the sun. And day and night it's all black. We're all burning in the, it's all dark, it's all nasty. We're burning in the fire of material existence. Juraite na koinu upai. And we couldn't find any way to get out. But instead, if we light up our life with Krishna, then profulito hobe nishidine. We'll be simply blissful, day and night, always. So the sun is setting on this series of talks on Arka, and there'll be more talks, Krishna willing. If not, certainly, I'm not the only person speaking on Vishnu Sahasranam. There are so many others speaking. But they're planning more talks. Still another 199 names to go. One thing we can learn, actually there's so many things we can learn from this series of talks on Arakais. There's so much in Srila Prabhupada's books. Just discussing one topic, the sun. So many talks are there. So much is there. Really, it's an immense treasure house. Srila Prabhupada described that we are giving an immense treasure house in the form of his books. So let us take advantage of them, read them, live by them, distribute them, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya churnakang padayane patya krit vacha kakushatavetad aham bravimi hei sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charane kuruta anuraga. Parivadatu jado yata tatava nanumukaro nabayang vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama niravishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Arka Bhagavan ki jai.